Life change stories are kind of a lifeline in recovery circles, that they help us to get us to that next moment, that next day, that next step in this process, as we hear hope from another brother or sister in Christ that has walked this journey. It gives us encouragement that if God can do that in them, then he can do it in me. And so that's why we want to spend some time today just hearing from a sister in Christ and what Jesus has done in her life through this ministry of Celebrate Recovery and just the miracles along the way that we can celebrate together. Today, we're celebrating life change through my sister, Rebecca. Welcome to Celebrate Recovery Official, a podcast that shares life-changing stories, courage, hope, leadership, wisdom, all centered around the Beatitudes and Matthew chapter 5 and the Celebrate Recovery principles, where Jesus helps us through some life-saving, life-giving principles to help us face our hurts that may come up in this broken world and maybe some of those core beliefs that we've developed along the way that don't line up with how Christ sees us, that lead to some defenses, protections, even some nasty habits and compulsive behaviors that ultimately create havoc in our relationships in our life. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with drugs and alcohol and perfectionism. My name is Rodney. I'm the Global Field Director of Celebrate Recovery. And so good to be back with you here today. I always just wanted to say, if you haven't given us a review, first off, if you like what you're hearing, we'd love to hear a review. If you don't like what you're hearing, let us know. We'd love to hear some feedback. Always looking for ideas and topics that you'd like to cover. Maybe you'd like to share your life change story. We'd love to get you on the podcast. You can email me. You can find my information on our CelebrateRecovery.com website. But if you'd be so kind to leave us a review and a rating so that we can get more exposure, that would be very helpful. But as I said in the intro, I'm so excited for you, no matter where you are today, this is all new to you or you've been in it for a while. Something powerful about testimonies, life change stories, and it takes a lot of courage to share our story, and I've got a gracious sister in Christ, Rebecca. She's actually one of our state reps in Northeast Florida, does a phenomenal job on a regional level, but also serves on the local ministry at St. Francis in the Field in Jacksonville, Florida, representing Jacksonville here today. But Rebecca, thanks so much for jumping on with us today.
Thank you, Rodney.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Yeah. Let's jump in.
All right. So I'm Rebecca. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I struggle with anger, resentment, and I need to control my life.
Hey, Rebecca. So glad you're here. And I just love you.
And glad to be here.
You guys are just such great main staples in our ministry there in Florida, but even just as a state rep. So grateful for you, and thanks for coming on to share part of your story. Why don't we set the tee? Just kind of give me a glimpse of what was Rebecca's life prior to recovery. Can you give me kind of a snapshot of what that looked like?
Absolutely. I was a broken 18, 19-year-old little girl trying to figure out life on her own. Life had thrown some pretty big curveballs at me as I was coming into adulthood, starting with the death of my grandmother, followed 6 months shortly after the death of my father. I graduated high school, met my husband. You know, I thought everything was going good. I had it all figured out and I was ready to tackle the world. Shortly after that, my home was broken into, mine and my husband's home was broken into, and I was raped. Mm. So I walked through that, but I remember very clearly that night praying to a God who I didn't feel I was worthy to pray to spare me and save my life. He did. He answered my prayers. Obviously I'm here. But I still didn't start living immediately for Jesus. I never felt shame around being a rape survivor, I determined that I was not going to be an unsolved rape case. And so I just kind of kept on doing life, and just, I would call the detective up every couple of months and say, "Hey, have you made an arrest yet? Hey, have you guys got the guy?" And I'd get the runaround. And so fast forward 7 years, and the detective called me up and he says, "We think that we have a match to your case." He said, I got to do some more DNA testing, but I'll let you know." So 6 more months passed and I was still getting the runaround. So I called up a local news channel and I said, "This has been going on." That evening he was arrested, and we started going through the trial process of conviction and victims' impact statements. And so all this stuff that I thought that, you know, I was doing great. Rebecca had it all together. She's hanging on strong and she's, you know, doing it all. And
yeah. Well, and I feel like, I don't mean to interrupt you. I just want to jump in there. I just want to feel the weight of that. I mean, how old were you when this rape happened, Rebecca?
I was 19.
19, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this has been your story, right? And it is your story. And I just don't want to, I don't want to go by this really quick, because just feeling the weight of that, of what a 19-year-old girl is carrying in that space, and that's just a lot to carry. And I just didn't want to just go by that really super fast, because for our listeners, it'd be like, "Whoa, what did she say?" You know, that's a lot that you're carrying, and that's a lot for anyone to carry. And here you're 19, you're going through this. What is going on in a 19-year-old with 7 years later, even when all this is coming out and all this stuff? What's going on in your heart? What's going on in how you see the world, how you see yourself? What's happening? Give us a sense of that, because this is heavy stuff that you're talking about here. Yes. What is that like for Rebecca?
Well, it was, I mean, it's very heavy. It was just one more thing that I just felt like I was the only person who could control it. I was the only one who could fix my circumstances or my situations. Time and time again, I had been let down by the adults in my life that were supposed to provide, protect, and love me. And I found myself sitting alone in this pain and this suffering, and just not really having, I had my spouse, but, you know, did he really even understand the depths of the pain? Because he just couldn't put himself in my experience. Yeah,
how could he fully understand, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a pretty heavy spot. But that's a lot to carry. Wow. So what do you do with that? I jumped in on you, but I just didn't want to.
No, you're good.
I just want to feel the weight of that. But so 7 years later, now kind of what's happening next?
I had a lot of misdirected anger. I was angry at God for a lot of things, taking my father, allowing the rape to happen. And so, unfortunately, my husband caught the brunt of that anger, because he was the person that was there. I would find myself lashing out at people who loved and cared for me because they didn't do things exactly like I thought that they should be done. And they weren't allowing me to control them and my situation. And so anytime I would feel that things weren't going my way, then I would become just... The other day I had an incident happen where a toddler was having a fit, and I was like, "Oh, so much of my inside feel like that at times." Whenever I just don't know where to put all of my feelings. I'm just kicking and screaming on the floor of my bedroom, you know. Wow. It was just a good picture to put with my feelings and just the way my insides felt during that time. Just angry and no idea why.
Yeah. That's such great self-awareness, though. I mean, I'm looking at this kid throwing a tantrum and it's like, ooh, that's what my insides feel like right now. If I could organize this, that's what that would look like. That's a pretty, like, that's just total chaos happening inside of you. And I don't know what to do with all these emotions. Am I saying that right?
Exactly. I had been taught my whole life, you pull up your trousers and you keep going, you know, I got my own problems. I don't have time to hear your problems. And so you just stuff them down. And whenever they start bowling up, they express themselves in anger and retaliation and lashing out. And because of past childhood dysfunction in my family home, that's how I thought you responded to things like that.
Mm.
You know?
Wow. Well, in some prior podcasts, we've been spending some time talking about anger. So I love that you're putting your own skin on this topic, right? It's like, but it helps me make sense. I mean, I'm trying to get inside the heart of Rebecca, that young woman who's just trying to deal with this atrocious violation, grief, layer upon layer of grief, shattered dreams, betrayal. I mean, there's just so many layers there. Why wouldn't there be? I mean, you're really describing injustices in your heart, and you're trying to make sense of this. To get underneath the anger is impossible right now, because you're just trying to stay alive, it sounds like.
Yeah, just surviving.
Survive.
That's all I was doing, is just surviving in the moment. I have been very fortunate in I've never been a substance abuser, because a lot of people in my family were, and it was just, I'm not saying I've never tried drugs and alcohol, because I have.
Yeah.
But those take me out of control.
Mm.
I cannot control a situation whenever I am under a substance. And so my need to control always outweighed my desire to numb, if that makes sense.
Makes total sense.
And so I was just doing the best I could, putting one foot in front of the other.
Wow. Wow. I have a picture of this young woman who's hurting, broken, but man, such a fighter. But it's kind of organized in an unhealthy way in some ways, right? You're just trying to stay alive,
yeah.
But to even be alive and getting through that and still in that is pretty remarkable, not having tools around you. So what do you find yourself? I mean, obviously anger sounds like, you know, just this chaos stirring inside of you. What do you find yourself doing in that space as you're trying to make sense of all this pain sitting in Rebecca's heart and her mind? What do you do with that? What do you find yourself doing with that?
Raising babies. it was shortly after that the babies came. And so
that'll take your attention a little bit.
It will. So I just kind of started pouring myself into my kids, and trying to provide a better life for them than what I had had. So I think I just, work and kids became my coping mechanism. My drug of choice was, how many hours can I work this week so that I don't have to sit in my thoughts?
Wow.
Don't have to focus on what's bogging Rebecca down.
Yeah. And it's confusing, isn't it? Because I'm just trying to make sense of it as I'm listening to this great story. I know you're blessing our listeners, Rebecca. So thanks for your vulnerability. So it's confusing in one hand, because the traits of you going all in and pouring yourself into your kids, your family, there's some positive attributes to that, right? It's like, you're a good mom, you're taking care of your family. But the other side that grieves my heart in this space, as I'm hearing your story, is who shows up for Rebecca? You're all alone in that. You just kind of have to just, act like that's not there. Or what's that other part? What are you doing with that?
Well, I did. I lived in denial for 7 years. I only thought about it whenever, you know, the detective would call or I would be having an incredibly bad day and dwelling on it. And then I could get wrapped up in the thoughts of, you know, they're never going to catch the guy that did this. There's never going to be justice. Mm. And so I just kind of, I lived in denial. And luckily they ended up catching the guy and he was arrested. I think where Rebecca finally figured out she needed to address it and had never processed it was we were sitting in church on a Sunday morning and our church was doing the sermon series, The Road to Recovery. And I kind of lean over to my husband at the same time that he leans over to me and I said, I should go help those women. You know, I'm going to go help them because I have this story that I've walked through and maybe somebody can relate to me and I'm going to go help.
Wow.
Unbeknownst to me, my husband sent an email to the ministry leader, on the premise of being Rebecca. So he set up a lunch with me and I went and met him and I said, I really think I could help your ladies out that struggle with sexual abuse and that have also been raped. And he goes, that's great, Rebecca, work my program. And I was like, oh, no. I don't need your program. I've got this all figured out. Yeah, I'm doing
understand.
Awesome.
You don't right. understand what you I'm don't. Saying.
Right. I'm good. I've arrived. Right. And so, that was a week that had happened like on a Monday. On Wednesday, I got a call from the court system and there was going to be the sentencing hearing 8 years to the exact day of the man breaking into our home. Mm. And so I hung up the phone and I went to go write down, you know, I got court at this time on this day. And that's when the date just kind of jumped off of the calendar at me.
Wow.
And I remember looking at my husband and saying, I'm going to call him back and see if we can reschedule this date. Mm. And he said, maybe God gave you that date for a reason. Mm. And so I prayed about it and I thought, yeah, God gave me this date for a reason. So I was able to write my victim's impact statement. Hmm. At the time, I was studying the women's group I was a part of was studying the book of Romans. Hmm. And the forgiveness topic had come up and I'd started pondering that if I was ever going to regain peace around this time of my life, I was going to have to forgive the man who broke into my home. And so I wasn't sure what that looked like, but I was pretty sure I had done some things that I needed God to forgive me of. Mm. And I was pretty certain that it was going to have to be with God with me to work this forgiveness process out.
Wow. This is a lot. And I'm absolutely being blessed by hearing your story, Rebecca. I want to take a super quick break here, but we come back. Feels like we're kind of getting in, turning the corner there and just what forgiveness looks like and the significance of that date and kind of your breaking point. So talking with Rebecca, sharing her life change story through Celebrate Recovery. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with our sister. Be right back. Hey, friends, if you're looking for an additional meeting to your in-person meeting, man, God is really blessing the online global meeting. Every single Wednesday, noon Pacific, people from all over the world get on this meeting. We do have a quick mini-mony, a testimony of a devotional, and then we break up into gender-specific groups. Every single Wednesday, noon Pacific, join us wherever you are listening, and you can go to CelebrateRecovery.com for that link and join us this week. We'd love to have you. CelebrateRecovery.com. Welcome back. Talking with Rebecca. And Rebecca, I almost hated to cut you off there because it's such good stuff. I love what you said. maybe, and Jay, your husband says, maybe God gave you that date for a reason. And we're starting to get into the reason here, and that, and you felt like God was kind of whispering in your ear about forgiveness. And okay, how do I forgive this guy? Maybe I have something to be need to be forgiven for. What does that look like? And it feels like we're kind of moving into now you're not just going to go help all those people. Maybe I am one of those people. And what's that pathway look like when you start leaning into the, maybe I need to forgive them, and gosh, is that even possible? What's that path look like? What gets you through that process, to that process, I should say?
Yeah. So we had the sentencing hearing. I read the victim's impact statement letter to him. And the very next day I walked into Celebrate Recovery for the first time. Wow. And I haven't looked back. The very first time going, I was like, you know, I'm going to work the program because that's what the ministry leader told me to do. I obviously need it. I feel like God gave me back my date for a reason. Mm. And this is the path that he's laying before me. And so,
wow,
I've been all in ever since.
So this is fascinating. So God gave me back my date. I love that. Is this date has a new meaning for you? Doesn't mean we act like that other hard thing didn't happen, but God bless you with a new expression and celebration of that date. So you go to Celebrate Recovery. That's got to be scary. I mean, yeah, you're going to go help those people. Now you're realizing, oh, I am one of those people and I've got to work the program. What is that like to walk through the doors of Celebrate Recovery with all this stuff, that grief and layer upon layer of disappointment and betrayal and shattered dreams and all this stuff? Was it scary? Was it exhilarating? Were you excited? Were you regretting it, dreading it? What was happening for Rebecca?
I'm one of those rare people that Celebrate Recovery was at my home church. So it was not as scary as some CRs. There was comfort in the building. Mm. There was comfort in some of the faces because they were people I recognized from my church home. Yeah. I know for some people that's scary because they don't want the people from their home church to recognize them. But I found comfort in that. Mm. I found comfort in people being friendly, welcoming, and just kind of sitting with me, just not fixing, not recommending.
Those guidelines, I remember, are safe. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The guidelines were everything. I remember my second meeting, probably more so than my very first, if I'm being honest. Mm. My second meeting, I remember sitting in my women's open share group, and I was in a women's open share for physically, mentally, and sexually abused women. It was a blessed church that had enough leaders for that. And I remember just hearing every woman share around the circle, just her introduction, you know. Mm. And it was probably the first time in my life that I felt seen.
Wow. That's powerful. Even as you mm-hmm. say that, I can just feel the weight of that. And I'm just imagining, just so kind of the contrast here, right? This woman that has basically had to hide, shove down, run away from that, you know, the chaos inside your heart from a lot of pain, basically even yourself not seeing that younger self, that 19-year-old, right? And now flip that over on the other side, and now you're actually being seen. You're actually able to start kind of organizing some of this pain. What was that like, Rebecca, to get into the pain? I guess it's got to be pretty reassuring to be seen. And that kind of gives me the courage to take another step to lean into these scary parts of our heart and these hard places. What was that like to kind of start digging into as you get into Open Share, you're processing, you're in a step study. What's that like to get into the pain? Was that hard? Was it scary for someone that might be kind of contemplating that? What was that like for Rebecca to start poking at some of those old wounds?
For me, again, this is going to be different from most answers, but for me, it was almost relief, Rodney. Mm-hmm. It was, I finally have a safe place where people get me, understand me, and hear me. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to be in this space alone anymore. So for me, it was relief. What I figured out once I got to the program was I needed the program long before I walked through the door. There was just so much unpacking that had to be done. I had this big life event, but I had not even started touching the surface of the grief of losing my father or the grief of losing my grandmother. And so it was just, well, the rape trial was over and there was healing there. I had all these other smaller packages. You know, you open the box and there's a smaller box inside the box and it just keeps going down, down, down. And
yeah, that's a good view.
I felt like every time I opened up a box, there was one more box that I had to get into and just really work through and process, you know?
Yeah. Well, and just holding that space, I mean, even though smaller boxes, every single box you're opening is a part of your heart. And mm-hmm. just kind of feeling the weight of that. It's like, this is a precious, kind of tender, space. It's a tender part of my heart and I'm getting ready to, you know, cut open into this box, and what's inside this box is painful and it's scary. It's hard. It takes a lot of courage for you to do that, Rebecca.
I think I was just to the point where I knew something had to change. I couldn't just keep living life pretending I'm okay. It's okay. Everything's okay.
It's okay not to be okay.
It is okay not to be okay. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So lots of work. That's not something that happens like, okay, I open the box, we're good. There's a process, right?
Right.
And we know, you know, we trust God in the process. Make a decision and then trust Him with the process. What has God done? What has He taught you through that process? You know, you mentioned the forgiveness. What, as you were able to open those boxes one by one, with care and gentleness, in the safety of people seeing you, catching you, being with you, Jesus being with you, what did the Father teach you? What was, if you can put into words, the healing, which is always hard, but what did forgiveness look like? What seemed like a mountain? What did that, how did that play into this process? What does healing look like for Rebecca walking through this?
So I think the biggest thing that it has taught me is everything is forgivable through God. There are days that Satan tries to use my past or my past thoughts to control my outlook and my day. And it's in those moments that I just have to pray and say, God, you know, I ask you to take this from me and give me forgiveness through your eyes. Because what forgiving doesn't mean forgetting. And forgiving also doesn't mean to be in relationship with. I have forgiven my perpetrator. I think forgiving something on such of a massive magnitude has allowed me to be more forgiving of my husband, for things that trespasses that he's made on me in our marriage and walked us through some pretty difficult times. And those are things that I have in my tool belt that I wouldn't have without Celebrate Recovery. So while it also was helping me heal past stuff, I think it also prepared me for the future, for tools that I would need in the future.
Yeah, that's so well said. I mean, and that is important. And there's a couple things you said that are so important. I just don't want to miss. One is Forgiving is not forgetting. And that's so important that this is a process of remembering the pain so that God can heal it, but doesn't mean we forget it. And it doesn't always mean that we reconcile, right? We can forgive without reconciliation. But I love that you're even giving us the other side of that, that in your marriage, you know, when we are having conflict, we can forgive, but there through to have reconciliation, there must be forgiveness, right? So some need right. both, and some you should never involve reconciliation. It's just not safe. But wow, that's a huge thing for you, and I love that. It's almost building a resilience to face tomorrow or today's and tomorrow's opportunities to need grace and extend grace. God built that up in you through this process.
Absolutely. He hits. I never take it for granted. Every day I remember where I was and how hopeless and angry and shattered I was to what I am today.
Wow.
I tell people at my meeting, if you would have met me the first time I walked through the doors to celebrate recovery, you probably wouldn't have wanted to talk to me because I was very, very closed off and very unapproachable.
For good reasons, right? I mean, you were protecting your heart. People have hurt you.
And that's
so
right.
You had to kind of learn how to trust people. Rebecca, we could get into so many aspects of your story and really kind of unpack
this,
but you're doing a great job with your vulnerability and giving us an overview of some big moments. But what does Rebecca's life look like today compared to that 19-year-old? And just give me some practicals. What does that your life look like today, having walked through this process and trusting the process one moment at a time?
I think today I'm more approachable. I'm definitely a happier person. I can honestly say I'm okay. It's okay. And we're all going to be okay. So I think it has just given me the ability to see life as it is and take each day as it comes, knowing that tomorrow is always a new start. I might blow it today, but I get a fresh start tomorrow.
I love that. Wow. That's so beautiful. And just knowing you, Rebecca, I mean, just to affirm you and encourage you. I mean, I love how God is using you, sis. I mean, you're just an incredible woman.
I'm thankful for the opportunities.
Yeah. He's not wasting the hurt in your life.
He's not.
Rebecca, you have an opportunity in this moment. Somebody's listening, and your story is impacting everyone listening, by the way. But there's someone that it's significantly impacting them. It's like, oh my gosh, that's me. What does Rebecca say to that person, male or female, that might be listening, saying, I'm scared, you know, I've trained myself to shove this down and just get busy and ignore it, but I want to do something different, but I'm scared. What's the encouragement that you would give them to maybe consider the possibility of entering into this healing space called Celebrate Recovery?
I think my encouragement is that there is healing in telling your story. There's healing in speaking it out loud, and you have brothers and sisters who get you, love you, and want to walk beside you and lean into your pain with you.
Well said. I love that. Yeah, beautiful. Rebecca, thank you so, so much. I just want our listeners to know it takes a lot of courage to share those vulnerable parts of our life. And you not only did an amazing job letting us in, get a glimpse of it, but just appreciate your courage and willingness to come do this, sis.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And again, Rebecca is one of our state reps in Northeast Florida, just a great resource. But also, if you're looking for a meeting and you're in the Jacksonville, Florida area, I know that Rebecca would love to have you join them at St. Francis in the Field in Jacksonville, Florida, and join their group. What nights do you guys meet there?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. So check them out.
At 7:15.
All right. Rebecca, thank you. Appreciate you, sis.
Appreciate you, Rodney.
Grateful for you. And I'm hoping and praying that this blessed your hearts as you're listening. What an amazing story from an amazing woman who serves an amazing God. And I hope if you're struggling and you're hearing her story that you're feeling alone, just know you're not alone. In fact, you're not designed to face whatever it is you're battling on your own, under your own power, that there are resources or people that would love to just embrace you in this process so that you can find your miracle. As we say, don't quit before your miracle happens. Hey, thanks so much for being with us again. If you'd like more information, go to celebraterecovery.com. Thanks for being with me today. I pray that you'll join me next time. Until then, God bless.